Yes.
I have a question. I would like you, if you can elaborate a bit on, you talked about this mental process where people do the thing that's hard but less hard but still hard to avoid facing the shadow.
Yeah. That's actually a really productive way of procrastinating, although it comes with its own problems of rationalization.
Yeah, so that reinforces certain circuits.
Yes.
And then you talk about it in a way that says that those can't go away, so you need to bring up the other inhibitory circuits. And I'm just wondering if you can elaborate.
Well, I can, sure.
What is in the realm of possibility around their understanding of?
Well, I've derived that partly from my study of addiction and also from my study of recovery from post-traumatic stress disorder. But let's talk about addiction. So there's a series of actions that occur before you take your cocaine. Some of those are local, they're the things that happen immediately before, and some of those are distal, they're farther back in the chain of events. And when you have a hit of cocaine, it produces a dopaminergic burst, and that feels really good, but it also makes the circuits that were immediately active before that grow. That's what reinforcement is. And then the growth is proportionate, not linearly, but it's proportionate to how long before that event occurred. The closer it is, the stronger they're going to get. But even the ones that are somewhat distal get some reinforcement. Because you might say, well, what did you do before you found your latest fix? And the answer is, well, how long before? Well, the closer, the more rewarded. And so what happens then is that, so if you take that person out of the normal environment, you put them into a treatment center, they're off their physical addiction, which is a weird thing in the case of cocaine, but like not that long, a week will do it, 2 weeks for sure, even heroin and alcohol for sure, if you can get them through the seizure part without dying. And so they're done. They aren't physiologically dependent anymore. But you let that person go, and the first thing that happens is his old friend, who he's always out doing drugs with, shows up, and bang, he's craving like mad. And that's because that thing is not dead at all. And it's activated by the cue. And it's a circuit. It's a personality. It only wants one thing. It wants cocaine. It's going to suppress any non-related thoughts, and it'll use lies, that's no problem, especially if lies have been reinforced, which they certainly have. Where are you off to, son? You know, you'll have a lie for that, and then 10 minutes later you have your drug, and so that little lie has just grown. Or maybe you think, you've tried to quit, you think, to hell with it, and every time, 10 minutes before you take your drug, you think, to hell with it, and you do that 1,000 times. Well, believe me, the to hell with it circuit, that sucker is strong. And so it's alive, and it's not like it just disappears. It can't. It's you. It's grown in there. Now, you can build another circuit to shut it down, and you can help it decompose across time by not giving it what it wants. But you're going to have to not give it what it wants in all of the multiple contexts that you've already associated with the drug. Some of you have probably smoked and then tried to quit smoking, and what you'll see is you get a craving when you have a cup of coffee, or when you're finished dinner, or when you're done having a phone call, or when you first get up in the morning, or whenever you've regularly had the drug, whatever you had the drug in relationship to, even complex things like ending a conversation will produce a cued craving. And so then that can extinguish over time if you punish it by either punishing it or not letting it get what it wants. But a lot you have to build another circuit to just shut it down. And then that circuit's kind of fragile, and stress can often disrupt it. So
that can be mediated by some of the books that people read about quitting smoking, or things like ibogaine.
Oh, sure. Well, part of that. Well, ibogaine's a whole different thing because it seems to have a direct physiological effect. But you know, the addiction has a cognitive component. It's full of thoughts and desires and wants. And you know, you may have to rebuild your whole personality in order to get that thing cornered. Religious conversion, for example, is a really effective treatment for alcoholism. That's partly why Alcoholics Anonymous works for the people for whom it does work. But religious conversion, which is total personality conversion, is actually one of the few things that we know of that's an effective treatment for alcoholism. We don't know how to induce it. But although that's not exactly true either, because in the early work with LSD, LSD was quite promising as a treatment for alcohol addiction. And There's recent work with psilocybin showing that if people have a mystical experience when you give them psilocybin, their success rate in quitting smoking is about 80%, which is way higher than any pharmacological intervention for smoking has ever beat. So, all right, we should probably call it a day. So we'll see you in a week.